morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a happy hour Friday. Coming to you live from a golf course.
Yeah, man.
We love coming to you live from bars on Fridays, but it's pretty fun coming to you live from golf courses as well. We're at Bears Best for the 6th annual Passion Foundation golf outing, and we're going to be here all day. Looking forward to it. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yeah, dog. I mean, anytime you could be out and about on a Friday, and we know this because this is a foundation for one of our sales guys, John Parler, yep. And we know one thing about Parler. It's going to be a first-class event, but we're not in the bar. But Paul is going to have it like a bar to golf.
Yeah, he's bringing the bar.
Yeah. He's bringing the bar to the course. That's just what our main man, JP, does for us and everything. And it is, like you said, we're out here at the golf tournament. I know we're out here playing golf because you got your lucky golf shirt on.
Yeah, well, lucky, expensive.
Yeah.
We need to get as many wears.
We got to get some more wears out of it and everything like that.
My $100 golf ball.
Yeah, so we got to get all of that out of you and everything like that, man. But yeah, it's an honor to be here. And obviously, it's a big Friday as we get ready for a big weekend of sports.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a fun one. And look, we've been out and about all week, and it's been awesome. Like, yeah. This is going to be a lot of fun today for sure. It was really cool yesterday being at Atlanta United's training ground and getting a chance to talk to those guys and get ready for their big game on Saturday. Obviously, on Tuesday, we were at the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. That was incredible.
Yes.
So it's been awesome to be all these different places. The only downside is, because of that, I think maybe we've focused a little bit less intensely on the college football game that's going to be played
yes.
in Jacksonville
yeah, man.
Tomorrow afternoon, and the NFL football game that's going to be played in Atlanta on
yeah.
Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, man.
We're not gonna miss those opportunities today. We're
going to
focus
no.
a lot on those football games today. So,
yeah.
Which one do you want to start with?
Well, I mean, it's
college or pro.
I mean, we can go to the big game coming in town for the Falcons, because it's crazy because of who they're playing. It's a lot more eyes on the Falcons this weekend than it usually probably will because of the Cowboys
sure.
and their situation as far as playing for their season and the blank show that it is. I saw a clip this morning. You know, everybody got a podcast now and everything, and you got two players, prominent players on your team, basically pooping on your quarterback.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's I don't think they like the brother. I don't think they like the brother, but that's just my opinion on it. But I mean,
who are the players for?
Yeah, Micah Parsons and Trayvon on Micah's part. List your five. At least say this. Well, Dak's our guy, so we're gonna put Dak in this.
Yeah,
you know, it's just. I mean, honestly, is everything. I get it, but sometimes you gotta. You remember when Tyreek was like, Tua is the most accurate quarterback I ever played with. Now, we know that's not true.
But that's what you say.
But that's what you say.
Because he's your guy.
Yeah, because he's your guy. And so, I mean, it's a whole bunch of mess going there and everything. And I just don't, you know, I mentioned yesterday their 32nd verse to run. No, I'm sorry, 32nd rushing team in football.
Right.
The 31st verse to run.
Yeah.
They're 30th in turnovers.
Yep.
So they're not a good football team. They're not a good football team. They have good players. Well, and they got players that can hurt you if you don't come with your A game. Dak's a very good quarterback, and they got to pressure him, Andy, because he's better than Baker. You didn't pressure Baker in 50 damn dropbacks. And so they got to figure out a way to get pressure on Dak and everything like that. But, yeah, I just think it's all more about, you know, the Falcons doing what they do offensively and defensively getting turnovers, maybe, because – I'm not going to sit here and say because we've been asking for a rush and asking for sacks and all those different things, that they're necessarily going to get that on Sunday.
Even they started talking about it differently this week.
Yes.
That's when you – look, we've known
yes.
and we know
yes.
and we've been talking about it. We've been honest about it. You know. It's not a secret. It's been going on for a long time. This is worse than it's ever been. Like, that's the craziest part of it. We've been talking about the Falcons' ineptitude at getting to the quarterback for years. This is the worst it's ever been. Like, we're 8 games in. They have 6 sacks. I mean, it's insane. But for them to start being honest, that, like, when a coach is honest about something his team can't do publicly, that's how you know it's bad.
Right.
Because coaches aren't honest about anything
Nothing
that their teams
all.
Can't do publicly.
Nothing.
It's like we were just saying with guys and their quarterbacks. You lie. You say he's your guy. And that's why up until this week they were like, well, it's not always just about
this
sacking
is not,
the quarterback.
That was not a tongue-in-cheek moment for Raheem.
No.
That was not tongue-in-cheek.
We can't do it.
Yes. That was not tongue-in-cheek. I know he comes off and he's awesome and everything like that. Outgoing, charming, all those different things. All those good things about him. He was like, I know they're going to ask me this.
Yeah. I mean, let me get ahead of it.
Let's get ahead of it right now.
I don't know. Maybe saying it publicly will motivate these guys.
I don't know.
If that's the final way to go about it. One thing that has been said repeatedly, and Jerry Gray was on the show with us yesterday, and he said it, no team that leads the league in sacks has ever won the Super Bowl.
Right. That's true.
Okay.
That's true.
Has a team that's ever been last in the league in sacks, won the Super Bowl. So then who cares?
Yes.
Okay?
Exactly.
Like, let's not just make like
You're not going to win a Super Bowl without a pass rush.
Yeah. Let's not make like one weird
not going to happen. Not going
to
happen.
Little quirky argument to try to justify
not
this thing.
Not going to happen.
So, working under the assumption that it's probably going to be like that on Sunday. Okay, well, let's talk about those turnovers, because that's the way that the Falcons' defense has been effective this year. They've not been great, but they've been good, and they've been timely. The Falcons, I think, right now are dead even in terms of turnover ratio.
Right.
They've turned it over 10 times on offense, 7 interceptions, 3 fumbles. They've created 10 turnovers on defense, 7 interceptions, 3 fumbles.
Right.
Like it exactly mirrors each other. That can't be the case on Sunday. They need to not turn the ball over at all,
right,
and take advantage of what they should be able to take advantage of on the ground in the run game. And then, again, timely turnovers. Those guys in the secondary. Jesse Bates has been awesome. A.J. Terrell's got 2 picks this year. Dude didn't have any picks for 3.5 seasons.
Yeah, I know.
He's got 2 picks this year. It's great. Let's add to it. And it sounds like Justin Simmons is okay as well. He was a full participant in practice yesterday.
So was Lindstrom. I think Lindstrom was out there. I don't know if he was limited or
he was limited. He was limited, but he was out there.
Okay.
And Caden Ellis was also a full participant in practice yesterday.
Right.
So I don't know, and we'll find out probably as close to kickoff as possible on some of these guys. But it sounds like Justin Simmons and Caden Ellis are going to be okay.
Look,
Troy Anderson, Nate Landman, Drew Dahlman, Charlie Warner, these guys were limited yesterday, so we'll see. And then other injuries, J.D. Bertrand and Ruka Roro didn't practice. Unlikely that they're going to be able to go on Sunday, but again, we'll see. Dallas is more banged up than anybody.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, they're more banged up with their prominent players.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing. And you're going to struggle when you don't have – I mean, you were struggling with them, but you take them off the field. And, I mean, you know, you just don't have that depth as far as talent, especially on the defensive side of the football when you're talking about Dallas. So, I mean, the Falcons should be able to get what they want in the run game. I think that's the thing about it. And we talked about it earlier this week. If you go back and watch the start of the 49ers game, I know the 49ers ended, you know, with over 200 yards rushing, but Dallas tried to come out with this new type kind of bear front against them because they knew San Fran was going to stop the run. I wouldn't be surprised if they did this. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw run blitzes and everything trying to, trying to bring more than the Falcons can bring on. I mean, can block on run plays. So I wouldn't be surprised if that. I wouldn't be surprised if Zim was just overly aggressive sometimes and just maybe giving up or allowing the big play, because they don't have a lot on that side of football, especially
right.
in that front seven. They're good on the back end. We know Trayvon, he's one of the best corners, but he's susceptible to big plays, double moves, all those different things. And you know, he's still working his way back from the ACL. And then you got Bland. I don't know if he's going to play or not, but he's working his first play time of the year, and we know what he did last year. So I mean, they got problems on that defensive side of the ball. And then we talked about offensive line, not very good.
Nope.
They can't run the damn football no matter who they give the ball to. They got some weapons. We know about CeeDee Lamb. We talked about him. And we know how good a quarterback Dak is if you allow him to be good. And allowing him to be good is not being able to pressure him. Or not even move him off his spot. Do something. Make him a little uncomfortable. Because if you let him be comfortable – these guys are going to get open eventually.
Yeah, you're in for a long day if that's what it is. And it may be that, honestly. You said it yesterday, and you know the more you think about it, the more I could envision it going that way with a high-scoring football game. Both offenses being able to do what they want and put points on the board. Maybe it's the first team to 30. That's what it's been
yep.
for the Falcons
yep.
the last month.
Yeah.
When they score 30, they win. They gave up 30 to the Seahawks and unfortunately only scored 14 that day. Turnovers bit them heavily in that football game, and they weren't able to win. So, I mean, all of that plays a factor on Sunday. Kind of fun. I had forgotten about this. We looked up the video before the show. Kirk Cousins and Zimmer have a history.
Yeah.
Obviously, Zimmer was the head coach in Minnesota for him for a number of years.
Yep.
If you haven't seen it or don't remember it, go on YouTube and watch their little dust-up on the sideline from a couple years ago.
Yeah, man.
Kirk punched him in the chest.
Yeah, dog. I mean, it was...
Out of excitement.
No, Kirk was enthusiastic. No. Because the whole clip, it leads up to that part right there.
Yeah.
But no, that was not a good situation.
That had to be separated.
It had to be separated. Because Zim, at the end of the day, Zim was like, he was with his hand, you know.
Oh, yeah, he was ready to go.
Yeah, he was ready. To go with Kurt and everything, but
now he gets his
opportunity to send his defense and everything. But yeah, if they play bad, just like any time in this league, you can wind up losing a football game. And Dallas has enough capable players, especially on offense, to make it a long day. That's why when you said the over was 52 or something,
51.5,
I'd take the over.
Yeah.
I would definitely take the over because of these two defenses. That's why I would probably take the over and everything like that. So it's all about a lot of times it's like who can get a stop. You know, who can hold it? Who can hold the team to a field goal
or
instead of a touchdown or a turnover,
or
something like that? When you have talk about two porous defenses the way these are, it's like, how can we steal a possession? As far as, you know, like we said, not necessarily a touchdown. Okay, they got to the red zone. How do we prevent them from scoring this touchdown, selling for field goals? Because that's kind of a steal of possession, especially when you talk about how this Falcons offense can move up and down the field.
They got a good kicker. Is he still on jury duty?
Who?
Their kicker. He wasn't able to practice last week because he had jury duty.
Oh, really?
Yeah, then he had to practice at night.
You know that they usually let us out of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like Jerry probably could have pulled some strings.
Yeah, I mean, there's been plenty of my teammates that have gotten jury duty during a season, and they didn't go. Yeah.
Were they kickers?
Yeah, no, they were not kickers. Yeah. They were not kickers.
They said the kickers got to go.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I was like, yeah, usually there's a way to get out of that.
He wanted to serve civic duty.
Hey, man, that's your dog. I mean, what's the difference between sitting in a jury box and doing what you do in practice as a kicker?
Not that
all they do is sit over there and kick damn soccer balls, and then, you know, every hour kick the ball.
Hey, I want to try a kick real quick. You guys want to hold it?
Yeah. No.
All right, I'll just use that little holder thing.
Yeah, that's what they do. Yeah, they don't ever.
You guys want to practice the long snap?
Yeah.
No? Okay.
Yeah,
I'll just use that little holder thing.
The little T, yeah. And just there it is. There it is.
Yeah, we're not doing
there
that for you. Yeah, yeah, jury duty. I don't know if he's still on that jury.
That's
jury of his
funny.
Peers.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny.
Hey, Young Thug.
Yeah, way
Young
to go.
Thug's out.
Free Thug. Free Thug.
He gets free.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
First day of Jack's life, him and Young Thug both out.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. He's been in jail for like 2.5 years.
Was he born on the day he went in?
No, but he was born after.
Oh, okay.
It's just a big day for Jack because he loves Young Thug.
Okay, yeah. Oh, Jack, Thug is his guy?
That's his guy. His favorite guy.
I can see that, though.
Yeah, he loves him.
I can see that.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get to what's trending here to kick the show off on a happy hour Friday. Broadcasting live from Bears Best. Very happy to be here for the 6th annual Passion Foundation Golf Outing. Thank you for being with us on a Friday. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
That's always a problem. That's most of the league right now. You know, we probably wanted a few people that got the static quarterback. Although he got out last week, guys, it's 14 speed, man. Don't be haters, guys. But that's kind of like comes up every single week just about with somebody that can move. You know, Baker can move. You know, Dak's definitely a mover. You know, we started the season with Justin Fields as a mover. Patrick Mahomes is a pain in the neck. I mean, all of these guys, right? So it's like you just got to deal with that stuff at the same time, but you got to rush the passer. You can't rush the passer fearful. We just got to rush the passer. So we don't have to worry about that thing right now. We got to get back there and get to him and hope we can make a move. And that's going to make us a better team.
I feel like Dak's a little bit less mobile than some of those other guys.
Yeah, I mean, Dak can get out the way.
Sure,
and that can run. That's what I'm saying. Like he ain't like Mississippi State Dak.
No, even early Cowboys career.
Yeah,
Dak.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a little more stationary than he used to be.
But yeah, no, he can move on. He can throw the move and everything like that. And he's a good damn quarterback. Dak's a really good damn quarterback.
And he's a really good quarterback if you don't make him move.
Yeah, if you don't make him move,
he can move, and he's pretty good on the move too.
Yes.
But if you let him sit back there, he's gonna pick you apart,
yes.
And that's the worry when you analyze this game. I think the Falcons are better across the board, but the one area that they just are not good at, it can bite you in the ass with a quarterback like Dak. It did with Geno, and it has at different times. They've been able to outscore teams, but I mean it's the same old story every single weekend, and it'll be the same thing on Sunday probably until they get it fixed.
Don't let their offensive line off the hook.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
It's true.
Yeah, don't let them off the hook of not being a good unit. You know, they still got a couple of young guys up there. Don't let them off the hook, and I think that's going to be one of the biggest things. And it's been the biggest thing all year for this Atlanta Falcons defense, especially that front seven. Don't let them off the hook. Don't allow them to be good. And as far as in the ranking, they're the worst rushing team in football.
Don't make them look good.
You know,
because you said it at the very beginning of the show. Like, the Cowboys are a blank show. Like, it's coming apart at the
seams. Yes, it is. Don't let this be the galvanizing. Don't
tear the threads.
You don't be the galvanizing factor for the Cowboys. Right. I mean, it's a blank show over there. Like you said, it's coming all apart. You got Jerry over here. You got your teammates talking about him.
You got Jerry firing radio hosts.
Dude, it's a blank show.
It's a blank show.
Yes. It really, really is.
So make it worse.
Yes.
Make it worse.
Make it. I mean, because either way, they win or they lose, it's going to be the topic, the top topic on Monday, unless it's another Hail Mary or something.
Sure.
It's going to be the first topic. Either the Dallas season, the question is going to be, is Dallas season over, yeah, or did Dallas save their season?
Yeah, because
that's going to be the first question.
They'll be able to do all their New York Jets stuff today.
Yes.
Because the Jets
exactly.
did last night.
They got all that out the way.
They resurrected their season. That was a hell of a catch, though.
Hell yes.
That's one of the greatest catches I've ever seen in my life.
Hell
Garrett,
yeah.
I mean, and it's funny because Garrett Wilson made a couple catches last night.
I mean, he had another one-handed catch for a touchdown.
And no one will ever talk about it because that one, that second one that he made is
sick.
Just.
Yes.
I mean, he looked like the Jordan symbol.
Yes, it was crazy.
To get it.
Yes, it was crazy.
It was crazy.
But that's going to be the thing. Like, the Falcons are going to be the lead story because of the Cowboys.
Right.
You know,
they'll be a part of the
lead story. Part of the lead story. Whether if they win, like I said, if they lose.
Yes.
And I'm talking about Dallas, it's, oh, their season over and everything like that, blah, blah, blah. If they win, is this the win that will, you know, galvanize them and what did Jerry say?
A storybook.
Is this the beginning of the story? For, like, whatever, man. Go kick their ass.
Yeah, exactly.
Go kick their ass.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
That would be fun on Monday if you drag them and then all the topics are Cowboys season over and you just get to watch all these highlights of Kirk Cousins and the rest of the offense putting it to them.
Like, I like a lot of Cowboy players, but I hate the Cowboys. So I just love going to kick their ass.
Absolutely.
Love kicking ass.
Absolutely how you should feel.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk Saturday. Let's hear Kirby Smart talking about Carson Beck.
Well, I think he's going to own that regardless. You know, if you ask a kid that, they're going to say that. He does need to play better. We need to coach better. We need to execute better. We need the people around him to play better. That's the ownership that a quarterback takes. And I don't, you know, I wouldn't expect him to answer any questions like that any other way.
Yeah, I have no doubt that he and Kirby and everyone will say all the right things.
Yeah.
But he does have to play better. Like, Carson Beck does have to play better quarterback in order for Georgia to achieve the ultimate goal this season.
The only way Florida stays in this damn game is if Carson Beck throws interceptions.
That's right.
All right? I mean, that's it. If they allow Florida to stay in the game, Florida's going to be in the game. There's no way. I mean, Florida's got some good players. The young quarterback, he's playing okay. He's still a young quarterback.
Yeah.
You had a week, Kirby, to put some stuff in for this young guy.
Yeah.
And then you look at it from a standpoint, if they don't, because Florida's offense is about him, because he's still maturing and everything like that, mm-hmm. he's all about the big play.
Yep.
If Georgia can take away the big play, and we'll be without two starting DBs to start the game, mm-hmm. you know, Dan Jackson and Aguero, they'll be out for the first half, so I expect them to try to maybe attack downfield. But if Carson Beck in this offense just plays clean, this game, I told Carl and Mike three touchdowns. That's what it should be.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what it should be.
Absolutely, it should. Now, I think that's the right mindset to start the conversation with when you're talking about this game tomorrow between these two teams, because so much of it has been, all right, Georgia had a week off, so it's a little bit not out of sight, out of mind, but it's a little bit in the rear view what happened with Texas.
Right.
So much of the focus has been on Carson Beck and what he hasn't been able to do this year, and then also Florida, quote, playing better.
Yes.
Or playing their better than what, I think, is important to ask.
That's a great question.
Better than they were playing.
Right.
Like when they were getting smoked by Miami week one. So better than they played to start the year when they played terrible. Playing better really just means beating UCF, beating Kentucky, and not getting beat by that much by Tennessee. Right? Like, we're not talking about a team that's doing that much.
They're okay. They're not good. They're not good.
They're not
playing better enough to beat Georgia.
No.
They're
playing better than they played at the beginning when they sucked the worst.
Yes.
Now they are a little bit better than that.
Right.
Georgia's playing better than everybody.
Yes.
They went on the road and beat the number one team in the country in their house by two touchdowns.
Yes.
So who's playing better? Okay. Florida's playing better than Florida was playing
when
they were playing like the worst team in the SEC.
Correct.
Georgia's playing better than everyone.
Yes.
Including the number one team in the country.
Yes.
So Georgia should beat the absolute hell out of Florida tomorrow.
It has to be catastrophically bad for Georgia to lose tomorrow. All right?
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
We should go in down there, and again, had a week off. Can you build off that performance defensively, as you should, but offensively? If you don't give them the football or give them opportunities to hang in the game with you and get confidence and all that, and then start putting that doubt in you, then you'll have a game. But this should be no game tomorrow.
It really shouldn't. Yeah, it should and I would love to see Florida's. I would love to see Georgia's offense look the way that it can and has in spurts. If they look like that all day, they're going to beat these guys by a lot of points. We'll get back into that conversation in about 10 minutes with Rodney DeBalsi. UGASports.com joins us on Fridays to talk Georgia football, and we will do that. But as we are broadcasting live from Bears Best for the 6th Annual Passion Foundation Golf Outing, we're now joined by John Chambers, who I've always wanted to have this in my bio. I've always wanted to say that I was a CEO of something. Can I start something so I can say I'm a CEO of something? Founder, CEO, head heckler, 20-year stand-up comedy veteran joining us right now on the show. J-Mark? J-Mark.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm very good, Andy. Nice to meet you.
Good to meet you,
Randy,
too.
Nice to meet you, too, man. There he is, the pride of Peach County.
Damn right. What the hell you know about that?
Hey, what you know about that?
I mean, I'm from there, so that made me like you even more. You know all about that, Pete got it.
But good hands right there, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
That's not heckling. That's compliment.
I want to know, because how did – there like everybody, you find your niche in things in life and everything. How did you find this niche?
I'll tell you what this is. I've been a stand-up comic for 25 years. I have. Gratefully, I've been able to work all over the country, tour around the world. I've worked with some of the greatest comics across, but I've also have a very eclectic list of people that I've been an opener for over the years. Weird Al Yankovic, The Temptations, Dave Chappelle.
Okay.
I've been really fortunate to be able to work with a lot of folks and do a lot of things. I started this just around 9 years ago. Whole Hecklers is a golf entertainment company. We work in the using the charity and fundraising space. We post up on a par three, and it's myself and another comic. And what we do is we post up on a par three like a mock sports casting team, and we roast golfers to raise money for charity. It's all in the name of charity. 100% of the money that we raise.
Right, so they can't get mad.
That's right.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant.
Hey, listen, we're going to heaven with an asterisk.
Well, we always say we're going to heaven on the waiting list.
Yeah, we're going to the waiting list.
We'll be on the long line.
But Randy, more importantly, 9 years ago, somebody I was working with was hosting. They said that our company was sponsoring a whole lot of golf tournament. She knew I was a stand-up comic and asked if I would come out with a friend of mine and just hang out on their hole. They'd give us some mics and a tent. We could do whatever you want. I knew it was a thing that day. I did. I knew it was a thing that day. A year later, we turned it into a business. It's actually my sister who came up with the name Whole Hecklers. I called her because I had an idea. I said, here's the idea, and here's how it's going to work. And she said, oh, there's two Whole Hecklers? I started screaming. I hung up on my sister. I called my partner. I said, hey, man, we got a name for the business.
Right.
But here we are, 8 years later. We've toured it. This year we'll be everywhere from Los Angeles to Myrtle Beach. Give you a little bit of a background. The pandemic is when things really picked up. It did. That's when it really picked up because I was getting tournament
so requests. True of everything in golf.
It was.
It's crazy.
I was getting tournament requests then to come out to do events. That next year, 2021, we did 16 events. 2022, we did 44 events. 2023, we did 56 events. This year, today, we're on two different golf courses. We're in Arizona at the Fresh Start Women's Golf Tournament out there, and we're here today for the Passion Foundation event today. That's a double shotgun. So there's 18 comics that work for us across the country, but all in the name of raising money. This year we'll raise over $400,000 for local charities across the country.
Nice.
I got a golf club.
Yes.
Can I just all like pretend I'm stepping up?
Please do there, Shorty, because I would love that.
Shorty. Damn. Well, we got good hands from Peach County. And now,
cool. Andy, when I saw you standing next to Randy, I was like, wow.
I know. It sucks. Everyone thinks I'm so short because Randy's 6'5". I'm an average-sized man. Right. I'm going to pick up this golf club.
I have a question. Why Andy's getting to go? I have a question for you. Yes. What is, like – is it the outfit? Is it the swing? What, how do you get the joke ready? Yeah, because obviously you got to prepare. Let me look at it. Let me scope him. Is it the outfit? Is it the swing?
So it can, hey, it'll be everything from your outfit to your swing to I don't really know you. I'm just going to make up something random I think that is going to get your attention
right.
And throw you off. That's the idea. The idea is we want to create memories and make people laugh. But it can be anything, right? Youth on the golf course, though, I'll be honest, you see the same 10 average guys like Andy. You know, he's the coolest dad at the daughter daddy dance.
He is. He is. He is. You know? He is. He is.
Yeah, Andy actually looks like the, he looks like the model dad on every pamphlet of every Mormon pamphlet.
Damn. Oh man.
The worst part is it's so true.
It is. Like, it kind of is. So I never thought about it until you just said that. It's just like, now.
Do you have some time?
Is it talk about? Because the thing about it is heckling, it never gets personal. I mean, I'm not talking about for you. I know it's not personal. Right. Anybody ever like give you that look though?
I'll tell you one time. I'm honest against you. One time, Disney World. We do the Last for the Troops tournament down in Florida at the Disney World at the Magnolia Palms Golf Course there, mm-hmm. Arnold's course down there. There's a guy every year up until a few years ago that played in the tournament. He looked like John Daly. That's what he looked like. He was always dressed to the nine. But the rest of his foursome, those dudes didn't even look like they were going to play golf that day. Right? And we insulted him when he got up to the hole. We started picking on him. And here's a guy who always donates a great deal of money. He always donates a lot of money. We're always grateful for his donation every year. But we roasted him. And as we were roasting him, I think I said something. And I said, you look a little uptight today. I got some Cinnacott in my bag if you want to loosen up just a little bit. And then he took a divot the size of a Minnesota beaver, and it didn't turn out well. He threw his club and then kind of looked back at us and then walked to the other end of the golf course. That may be in the one time out of 40,000 golfers that we've roasted over.
Like, looking like John Daly isn't a compliment.
Yeah. Like, no, was, you know, when he said that, Justin, like, I was like,
John Daly looks like John Daly, and he's John Daly. That's right. You look like John Daly.
That's not a good thing, right?
Good. Yeah, I was doing great. Like, you probably got to make some changes in your life if you're looking like John.
He's a future diabetes spokesperson.
Definitely.
There's not a golfer that lives his best life. Right? Does not care what you think about him or anybody else, right?
But he's him, so he can get away with it.
If gout was a person.
Yeah, that guy. Everything hurts.
Is that why he goes barefoot?
Yeah, probably.
Probably can't wear
that foot pain.
Or never give a damn either, right?
He's drunk. He can't feel anything. He's doing great. Hey, J-Mark, thank you.
Appreciate it, man.
Have a great time today. Thanks for being out here.
Thank you, guys.
I know Parla said, let it rip.
Absolutely.
Make sure everybody feels it there with them. So thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you guys for having me.
Our pleasure, man.
Appreciate you.
Thank you so much, brother.
Wholehecklers.com. Check us out.
Wholehecklers.com. J-Mark is here as the founder and the CEO and the head heckler. They're going to head out there and make fun of some folks as they try to swing.
Oh, my goodness.
I do look like that. It's true.
I mean, but that's not a good thing. You're very approachable. Like whenever we're out, people come speak to
you. I'm not intimidating.
People come speak to you before they come speak to me. Every time we're out,
it's true.
Yeah,
it's true. And then they're like, "Oh, that's Randy. Great, get out of the way." You know the main thing people say, and I don't. It's not mean, but it could be taken as such. Whenever we do like watch parties, and it's just me, it's like, "Oh, I wish Randy was here." I wish he was, too. I don't know what to tell you. All right, we'll come back. Rodney DeBalsi is going to join us from UGASports.com. We'll talk some Georgia, Florida with him. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Doom, doom.
Now back at the end. Doom, doom.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a happy hour Friday, coming to you live from Bear's Best Golf Course in Suwannee.
Know what this is?
Sixth annual Passion Foundation golf outing, supporting our good buddy John Parla and his foundation. The shotgun starts about 15 minutes away,
man.
So a lot of action right now at the range and all the carts, everybody getting ready to go. And then in about 15 minutes, it's going to be silent in front of us as everyone goes out there and plays. It is 11:45 on Friday, though, which means Roddy DeBalsi joins us from UGASports.com. Roddy's in Jacksonville.
What up, Rod?
Hey, gentlemen. I had to play a little Kendrick Lamar there, a little humble. Last week or 2 weeks ago, we had bouncing back. I expected Georgia to bounce back against Texas. I didn't think it'd go quite as well as it did. But the Dogs need to stay humble this week. I mean, every rat poison thing that you could ever imagine has been out there. People asking Kirby out to his seniors winning four games in a row over Florida for the first time in forever. Arius Smith saying it's personal for me. Lawson Lucky saying I can't wait to play those guys. I'm on the Florida website, our First and Ten Gators, part of the Rivals Network. I'm looking at their score predictions from their fans. I'm on page two, and I haven't seen anybody predict the Gators winning this. It just looks like it should be an absolute blowout. And I'm like, that's not what this game's all about. This is Georgia, Florida. Weird stuff happens here. Y'all stop. Somebody stay humble and just do what you're supposed to do and don't get crazy.
It's crazy, Rob, because we've had you on since you're doing this run, this dominant run of Georgia, and Friday you're our guy. And you say this every single damn time. It's Florida week. It's Florida. Roddy, if Georgia should beat the hell out of this team. If they play the way they're supposed to play. I know it's a rivalry game and everything like that, and I'm not saying, they learned anything from the Texas win and all those different things, Rob. But I think – because Andy made a great point when he got you on. They're saying Florida's playing better. Better from compared to what?
Better than who?
Better than who? And so I mean, hell. I just look at it as a standpoint where if they play clean, this should not be a game at all.
No, it should. I agree 100%. My prediction was 31-17. Georgia wins comfortably by two touchdowns. That's exactly how it should go down. But it's not exactly how it works. I mean, even last season when they were worse. You had that first half where you're like, what's going on? They just went down the score.
That's true.
This game's tight. My whole point is I started coming to this game in 1990 as a student. I've been here 34 times. Stupid stuff happens. So, yes, I am a beaten dog in this rivalry because I have had so many drives from Jacksonville back to Athens, avoiding ESPN Sports Center, avoiding any talk radio. Because, Mark Richt, Jim Donnan, everybody had lost to Steve Spurrier. Ron Zook beat you. Booker. So, again, but people know I'm trying to be an objective reporter, but I have scars from this Georgia-Florida game. So, when you say, are they playing better? They got a good offensive line, they got a huge running back, and they got a very good quarterback. He's very young. He makes crazy throws. He's averaging 20 yards a completion.
Damn.
That's nuts. He throws the ball downfield. And what happens when you throw the ball downfield on Georgia? You either get a pass interference call or defensive holding. So you get 15 yards no matter what happens, or they catch it. So, again, this should not be a competition. That's why I picked the song Humble. Just don't think you can throw your helmets up there and play the game as to what should happen. Play it with the hunger that you did against Clemson. Play it with the hunger that you did against Texas. Don't play it with the laissez-faire attitude that you did against Kentucky and Mississippi State when you just, again, you're supposed to win, and you almost lost to Kentucky, and you let a terrible Mississippi State put up 31 points on you.
Right.
Does that almost feel like an underrated part of the Kirby Smart story in his time at Georgia so far, is what he's done to these rivalry games? Like, obviously we talk about the national championships and the winning at a high level and the recruiting and all that stuff, but like, it's every year, like Randy just said, whether it's this one or it's the Tech game or it's Auburn or whatever, like it's gotten to the point where it's a rivalry because it's a rivalry, but the game itself is just, it's feels so different than it used to. Like, Kirby deserves a lot of credit for that.
He does. And I actually the reason I'm down here early is I gave a speech to the Jacksonville Bulldog Club last night, and I got up in front of them and said, hey, your team's not as good as they were last year. You're not better at a lot of your positions, but you're still the number two team in the nation. And there's not a team out there that Georgia should fear. They can beat anybody. They can win the national title this year, although they're not better than they were 2 years ago. But Kirby, even in a, I don't even call it a down year, a non generational year, is still far better. And I said, this is the golden age. If you remember a few weeks ago, everybody and their brother was furious that they only beat Auburn by 18 points. They were mad about that, guys. They were mad. I can't believe we only beat them by 18. It's Auburn. Kirby Smart is 8-1 against Auburn. 8-1. That's insane. He's 7-1 against Tennessee. He's 7-1 against Tech. He's 6-2 against Florida, about to be 7-2. These are rivalries in name only, or historically. Yep. But what he has done, 52-3 in his last 55 games. this is the golden age, and I think we get so caught up in the weeds and Carson Beck or, you know, driving arrest and stuff like that, we forget to look around and say, man, yeah, if you're a Georgia fan, you got it good. This is as good as it gets. And I can guarantee it, 5-10 years, if I'm still on with you guys, we'll be like, boy, you remember when that game was never in question because Kirby would just beat the crap out of them and you just didn't have to worry about Tennessee or Florida or Auburn or Tech? So let's enjoy it while we got it, boys.
Rod, who's playing that? That's probably we don't know. Question was, I know I saw Tate Riley. We're seeing something that he's probably going to play, like Smile Mundon. We already know about the guys who are who can't play because the first half because of this the targeting suspension, whatever you call it. But who's going to be up this week?
Well, to me, getting Tate Riley back is going to be huge. You haven't had him for so long, and I mean, I feel bad because that guy missed the entire 2021 season. You remember he was a starter against Clemson and gets hurt early. And he's missed a lot of this year, but you know, Tate is kind of the heart and soul of that offense. He's your Cedric Van Praan leader from last year. Getting him back on that offensive line will be great. It just allows them to really set up the running game. I'd like to see Mike run it this week. It would make me a lot happier to keep Lagway on the sideline and just pound these guys into the dirt with your running, your best blockers. But I also want to see getting Mykael Williams back. You saw getting Mykael Williams at Warren Brinson back from Texas. What happened? And it just frees Jalen Walker. Just let him cook, man. I got that cat can cook when you got a double team Warren Brinson on the inside or Nazir Stackhouse, you know, or you got Mykael Williams coming off the edge. Mykael gets back for the first time. I mean, he played, what, 9 snaps the week prior? He gets in there for 38 snaps, and you just see what the difference is. So,
right.
I want to see that same capability from Jordan Hull, the 5-star defensive lineman who would play his first game this, you know, tomorrow. If Jordan Hull gets in there and you can rotate him with Nazir Stackhouse and Mykael Williams and Jalen Walker, it makes it so much easier for the secondary that we were just kind of banging on earlier. When you can get pressure on the quarterback with a 4-man rush, you don't have to bring extra guys, and you get to him and you affect him, you get him off his spot, and you can actually sit back and have somebody spy a running quarterback. It's just a completely different look to this defense when those guys are healthy. So getting Jordan Hull back, Mykael Williams getting healthier than he was even 2 weeks ago, Warren Brinson being healthier back, you got to be very excited about this Georgia defense.
Yeah, Roddy, we didn't talk last week because of the bye, so we haven't talked since that Texas win. Obviously, it's almost 2 weeks in the rear view now, but we're still thinking about it, of course. What do you feel like that game taught you or made you rethink about this Georgia team that you didn't think about them beforehand?
Well, we kept saying they haven't played their best game. They haven't played their best game. Sometimes they play a great half, but right. You know, that just wasn't enough. And we had seen flashes, a flash here, a flash there, of what they could be. And a few weeks ago, I said, look, you know, where are they better position-wise than they were the year before? And the only one I could come up with is running back. That was about it. Everywhere else, they're good, but they're not better than they were. You lost Ladd McConkey. You lost Cedric Van Praan. You lost Brock Bowers. You lost 3 of your 5 starters in the defensive secondary. You know, you're not better at cornerback. You're not better at safety. You know, you're not better on the defensive line because all those guys are injured. But we see flashes. You know, that second half against Alabama, even though the first half was so bad, that second half was amazing. You're like, they can play like this? This is nuts. But they never did it. Then we saw them put it together against Texas. You're like, okay, now it's coming together. That's despite the fact your quarterback threw 3 interceptions and had no touchdowns. Imagine if he actually had a good game, how that blowout would have been in Texas against the number 1 team on the road. I'm just thinking what it taught me in a long-winded answer to your question is that the flashes that we've seen are more true to form. They're not flukes. They're not accidents. Yeah. That is who they can be. And I would just like to see them do that tomorrow against Ole Miss, against Tennessee, against whoever they get in the playoffs. Because if they play to their capability, they're unstoppable. But they can also get down by 28 and lose a game.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yep. Yeah, no, it's the widest spectrum we've seen in terms of what they're capable of from a Georgia team the last 5 years or so, that's for sure. Hey, Roddy, enjoy your time down there. Enjoy the game.
Appreciate you, Rod.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Roddy Nabalsi there, UGASports.com, getting ready for the world's largest outdoor cocktail party tomorrow, which is the coolest name for a
It is.
Game. It really
because,
is the coolest
I mean,
name
I'm telling you, there's so much. I've been to a Florida win and a Georgia win.
As a player or a fan?
As a fan.
Okay.
Yeah, I went one time. I told you, the Florida game I went with Channing Crowder.
Okay.
And we left Fort Lauderdale, and the whole plane was full of Gator, and it was just me. on the plane. And then me and Donna had went down, and we won that year. We had went down. It's a fun game.
When you played, it wasn't the stadium wasn't being renovated, right?
No. We played actually there.
You played down.
Yeah, we played there.
How did you do?
My first year, I went down and we lost. But we lost late. It was raining and everything. I had a couple of big catches, everything. The second year, I dropped a damn touchdown. The first quarter, dropped a touchdown. And then the third time I went down there, that was Coach Rick's first year. Oh, I know we lost, but I can't remember how that game went, though.
You guys won the second year?
No, we lost.
Oh, you didn't beat Florida? I didn't realize.
Oh, no, I never beat Florida. I never beat Florida. That's the only team I have in college I have a losing record against. And then the other team. In Atlanta, but I balled.
Yeah. What was it, 144?
144 in a tug, and then 131 in a tug.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Kill tech.
Jeez.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the one game I don't kill.
The office.
The one game I don't kill, and we win.
All right. We'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. Obviously, some more Falcons and Cowboys, but some of the other big games coming up on Sunday as well. And we'll spend a minute or two reacting to last night's win for the Jets. But I want to focus more on the receiver than the quarterback, if that's okay.
Mark Spain.
Oh, yeah. That hour was brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. And if you don't believe me, that hour really was brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate.
Good job.
Go to markspain.com and get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We'll come back and get to an NFL no huddle after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.